Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. This is episode 7. A whole day late. Sorry about that. Josh has been sick. We have had a delightful stomach bug flu thing going around our family. The kids have been passing it between each other, and now they passed it to us. I had it over the weekend, and Josh was on the couch for most of the week so far. And he did go to work yesterday and was then sent home again. Which tells you exactly how bad he must have seemed when he got into the office.
They said that I was green.
Yeah, which is not his normal color.
I was like, look, you know, I might not be highly skilled at everything, but I'm certain.
You're adorable.
Sorry. That was supposed to be fun.
No, you're adorable. So he's been dealing with that. So we did not record yesterday. He also has a trapped nerve or something in his back, which is
more than that's gone out for.
Yeah, it's been there for a month, well, more than a month. But he did finally get an MRI scheduled yesterday. That makes it sound like it's his fault it's taken so long. It's not. It's just taken that long for the scheduling people to get to him.
It's so, the VA, so?
Yes. Everything runs a little bit slow. But that is scheduled. Hopefully we'll find out what on earth is going on soon. It should be nice. And yeah, apart from that, everything is going quite well. I spent yesterday morning interviewing Dr. Daniel Schwemer, who is an Assyriologist and a specialist in magic and ritual, which is amazing. We didn't really talk about magic. I want to have him back on to talk about magic because magic is really, really interesting. We were talking about the excavations at Boguskoye Hattusha, which is the capital of the Hittite Empire. And this year they found a tablet fragment that records a ritual in a language that was previously unknown, which is pretty exciting. That kind of thing doesn't happen terribly regularly.
Yeah,
so
maybe
he and
like
I talked
only twice a year.
Maybe twice a year. But he and I talked about what an epigraphist does for an excavation, like where his duties start and end, almost like the translation life of a tablet. And then we got into the actual text, what it seems to record, and how that relates to Hittite culture, why they're recording rituals in other languages. It was very interesting.
Megan, I've told you, look, if you don't know a word, don't make one up.
Sorry, I'll try not to.
And she did an amazing job.
You're very nice, man. It was really good.
I don't know if anybody listening has ever interviewed someone, excuse me, you know, publicly like that, but man, it is hard. And you ask questions like, when I do it, I'm like, so what are some other things that you find interesting that you would want to talk about for the next 10 minutes? Go.
You're amazing. I have to say, and we do get comments about our interview style on our much earlier videos, people saying, oh my God, get to the point. This is full of irrelevant information. And I always want to respond, I'm sorry, but this video is 5 years old now. Maybe try looking at some of our more recent material because we've improved substantially.
Yeah. And Josh is right here. He can read what you're saying.
So I feel
I'm always improved. I definitely think I'm better as the interviewee.
I think so. I think that your MS makes it very challenging to do the kind of thinking that's necessary for interviewing.
Yeah.
And I do think practice has absolutely helped. And for me, especially doing the podcast with Bart, I'm much more comfortable because I do it so often now. Like so often. I'm much more comfortable with the process and with what, like, I have a better workflow. I know what I need to do to prepare properly. So I sit down and write out questions and have a direction that I want to go in. And then while we're talking, because inevitably, while we're talking, people will answer both the question I've asked and also a question I have further down my sheet. So then I have to remove the question that has been accidentally answered and see if I can come up with something else to take its place. And then something that they say is very interesting and I want to follow up on that. And yeah.
It's funny. Something that gets you can definitely tell in interviews when someone's like put in the legwork. sorry, I keep coughing. But like, because I've been on interviews where people have said like, so what's chapter two of your book about? And okay. And so they talk about that for like 10 minutes. And then they say, what about chapter three? You know, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't really need you here. I could just go ahead and walk through the book if you want.
By myself.
But I wanted to, do you think it'd be interesting to people listening to hear about that conversation I had yesterday? I don't actually know if I told you the details of it.
I have no idea what you're referring to, so well, absolutely go for it.
So I, as I keep mentioning, listening to like Discord and Clubhouse a fair amount. And I was in a room and it was a Christian room. It's often where I end up going, but the people are incredibly friendly and usually. And one of the Christians said to me, you know, like, I feel like over the past 5 years, you've become, talking to me, said you've become sort of more critical of Christianity. And he was saying, like, before it felt like I was more like, I'm so sorry. Like I was more, no, I don't think the Bible's, you know, really doing that. I think we need to understand it more in the broader context. And now I'm more like, no, it definitely endorsed slavery or this type of violence or something, which sort of caught me, not off guard, but he said that he theorized that it was perhaps because of bad apologists or bad apologetic arguments that I have to face all the time, which I thought was interesting, and I'm sure there's something to that. But I thought maybe it would be a good time here, at least. And I did it. I'm so sorry about the coughing. I'm almost out of this sickness thing. But I thought it was a good time then and probably a good thing here to sort of nuance what it is that I think about when I talk about the Bible. So the way that he voiced it is he said, because I asked him for a specific example, and he said, well, how about with slavery? Like, I remember early on in this conversation that I didn't remember having, but I'm sure that I did. He said, somebody asked you, so you think that God permitted, I think was the word he used, slavery. And I responded, according to this gentleman, with like, now, I don't think that God permitted it. I think that it was the culture of the time. And, you know, so I was like, well, I don't remember saying that. But I mean, that doesn't mean anything. I have MS. But I feel like I'm usually careful to say, not God, unless I'm speaking from inside the framework, the interpretive framework of the person I'm talking to. So if I'm speaking with a fundamentalist evangelical, I will say, yeah, here in Leviticus 25 or something, God, you know, again, according to your lights, is saying X, Y, or Z. But normally I will say like the Hebrew Bible or the biblical texts or something like that. And yeah, I'm going somewhere with this. So it kind of got me thinking because another friend of mine in that room asked me, what is it that keeps you from like being a Christian? Because I know your wife is a Christian. And I know that you have very good friends that you either went through your doctoral program with or who have gone through, that you're friends with, that have gone through other really rigorous doctoral programs that are still evangelical Christians. What is it that keeps you from being one? And yeah, it was just, it was very interesting. Because again, I know I've probably said this in one of these episodes, but like, I don't think that the ancient Near Eastern material or, you know, the comparative data or the fact that the Hebrew Bible, either the prophets or, you know, those that wrote or edited the Pentateuch, utilizing earlier materials somehow nullifies or invalidates the idea of Christianity. Obviously, I don't think that. But I do think that it the best explanation, abductively, is that this is another ancient Near Eastern text. It's not divinely inspired. And if that's the case, then I feel like the likelihood of the, you know, specific deity that's being discussed in it goes down. But certainly that the path to that deity as laid out in those texts. I don't know that I've talked about this because it led me to think about this a little. Megan, you should stop me if I have, unless you've already fallen asleep, which
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Someone interviewed me about 6-8 months ago, I guess, privately for a school project, and asked me if I ever would come back to Christianity or to like religion, I think, what would that look like? And my answer was, I suspect that I would view ancient texts or even modern texts, but particularly ancient texts, as human beings interacting with the numinous, interacting with the divine.
Excellent use of the word numinous.
Thank you. Yeah, I have to.
That's a good word. We don't use it often enough.
You know, I think I picked it up from Torkel Jacobson.
Yep. I think, you know, that's, I think that's not where most of us guess it.
He's like one of the three people on earth that have used it. But it's actually pronounced luminous. Anyway, every time I hear the word barometer, I see Kramer sitting at that table in Jerry's apartment eating cereal or something saying it's pronounced thermometer. Anyway.
Amazing.
I don't know if it was cereal, but it's when he said the name of that particular ship collided with the other ship off the coast of Nantucket. Anyway, now a bunch of people are going to go fact check me on that. Probably not. Anyway, but I think that, you know, if you read through the Quran, or if you read through the Hebrew Bible, you read through the New Testament, or you read through the Bhagavad Gita or the Vedas or any like any of these ancient texts, obviously any of the Mesopotamian texts or Egyptian texts, I would feel probably that more than likely, if there is a god or gods, like obtaining in the world or whatever, and they're interacting with humanity, that these texts would represent fallible humanity's attempts to describe in their own terms or on their own terms their engagement with the divine, which is why you would see individual interpretation even among shared traditions. So you can have the prophets saying one thing, and you can have you know, the writers of Pentateuchal laws, you know, seemingly saying another. And that to me would explain. So there would be divine interaction, but not divine inspiration in the sense that we generally understand. I don't know. Did that make any sense? And was it of any use to anyone? Do you think? Megan,
it does make sense.
All right, yeah, Josh, that was brilliant. Brilliant. Numinous. Sorry.
You're silly.
Can I?
And I love you.
Coffee. I love you.
I was going to say something, and I honestly can't remember what it was.
If you want, I can talk about one more thing.
Yeah, go for it.
So I have been working pretty hard, except for this week, I guess, every morning on the chapter for the Atheist Handbook, Volume 3, the formation of the Pentateuch chapter. And so it's going to be laid out. I know how the layout's going to go. So there's going to be the first section of the chapter is going to be on ancient scribes, who they were and how they functioned. So I'll probably talk a little bit about wider ancient Near Eastern scribal tradition, and then talk specifically about tradition in ancient Israel and Judah. Sorry. Everybody listening is going to be like, I'm so tired of hearing Josh cough.
I doubt that.
So I'll talk about their methodologies and that sort of thing. And then I will do a history of research, like a broad overview going back to like the 18th century. Showing like where the historical critical method started to shift hard away from Moses having written the Pentateuch, but specifically to show here are the different theories that scholars have espoused over the, you know, recent centuries and how they've developed, and then you know, into you know, recent decades, what scholars have, you know, what scholars have done. Because, like, as a teaser, early on, you know, everybody's engaging with the same, obviously, with the same biblical text, and they're seeing things like Genesis 1 is one creation story, and Genesis 2 is a different creation story, and in Genesis 6 through 9, you have seemingly two different flood traditions, right? That are woven together. then you have, sorry, you know, you have Jacob on his way out of Canaan naming the city that he stops at, Bethel, renaming it that, but then he stops there again. And he renames it Bethel on the way back, like 20 years later or something. So they're seeing these doublets, these dual stories, or these inconsistent stories, and saying, like, how do we explain this? So early on, it was, this is source A and this is source B, meaning that there was a single individual complete story that ran, you know, from like early in Genesis down to, you know, what, like the book of Joshua. Here's one story that runs through that entire length of text. And then here's another story, another source, another story that runs through that entire length of text. And then they were brought together at a later period. And that would explain, you know, the doubled accounts. And that, you know, became referred to as the documentary hypothesis, because each was a single separate document that was woven together at the end. You have later thought where you have oral tradition that's, you know, sort of building up and only later being written down. Then you, you know, later you have ideas of, you know, the patriarchal narrative of the ancestors is one tradition that's built up and developed on its own, separate from the Exodus and wanderings tradition from Exodus to Numbers. You know, those things are distinct and only brought together later with redactional layers. Anyway, so I'll go through all that stuff to try to make it clear, because it is really difficult to wade through, and there are a lot of different theories. But then I'll go into what is it that everybody agrees on, and then finally bad apologetic arguments that you know, apologists try to bring up to discount multiple authorship and try to, you know, espouse Mosaic authorship. So sorry, I'm gonna land it there. I feel like I've just been yammering on and Megan's falling asleep.
I am not falling asleep, but we do now have a crying toddler, so we may have to wrap this up in a minute or two.
Okay.
I did want to say before we headed out that Jennifer Bird's new book, Marriage in the Bible, arrived earlier this week. So I'm going to speed read through that and then have her on, hopefully before Christmas, to talk about that. So if anyone has questions for Dr. Bird on Marriage in the Bible, please drop them in the comments and I will make sure to ask those. And for people who prefer audio versions of our interviews, I am going to be starting again to upload the audio from interviews to the podcast. I'm going to be reviving the Digital Hammurabi podcast. So I've already got Dr. Shvema's audio prepped and ready to go. I'm going to try and upload that sometime today. So if there are any episodes from our back catalogue that are not on the podcast that you would like to listen to, please, again, drop a comment in and I will get those prepped and ready to go so that you'll be able to listen to them in the coming weeks. And thank you for your patience on that. I know we do still get like download notifications from the streaming, the podcasting host that we use. And I always feel a little bit, oh dear, poor people are still listening to it. We should probably give them something new to listen to.
Think about the Hebane podcast.
Yes.
I have done nothing with it.
Well, it's one of these, we started these things and then, I think we moved and then we had
twins.
Twins and COVID and there's been a lot of, for everyone, a lot of stuff going on. And it's nice to be starting to get back to some kind of routine and regularity. Yeah. But I think that's all the news I had. Josh, do you have anything else?
No, I just really appreciate everybody that listens to this. series of inane ramblings from me.
Oh, I like it. It's nice to have a morning chat.
Heck yes, it is.
Well, we will head out and get ready, or I'll get ready. Josh has already started his day. He's probably at work by now. But thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.